The Jets' defense was a major weakness in 2021. Over the course of the offseason, the Jets brought in reinforcements, both in free agency and the draft. But what do these moves tell us about Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh's philosophy? We'll discuss on today's episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. I thank you for making the show your first listen or your first watch every day. We're free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit that subscribe button and you'll never miss an episode. If you're watching on YouTube, please give the episode a big thumbs up. It helps the channel out, and it helps other Jets fans find this podcast. Well, yesterday we talked about some of the moves the Jets made on the offensive side of the ball over the course of the offseason, and we described what they may tell us about the philosophy Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have as they build this roster. Today we're going to talk about the defensive side of the ball. The Jets entered this offseason with two different goals. The first was to make sure Zach Wilson was surrounded by the right pieces on offense, but they also had to fix his defense. This defense was horrific last year. And what's been very interesting is that as the Jets have had this very rough stretch over the last decade plus, they've typically had a really good run defense, if nothing else, and they've typically been like okay against the pass. Like, their defense has never been the problem. It's really always been the offense that's been the issue. Last year, that was not the case. The defense was at the bottom of the league. I mean, they couldn't stop anybody. It was ugly. And the Jets, of course, made some pretty significant additions, both in free agency and through the draft. Now, what can these things tell us about the way the team is being built? Well, I think the first one, which is pretty obvious, is all of the talk about Robert Saleh not valuing the corner position, we could throw that out the window. That's just not true, because the two corners who were starters for the Jets last year are now backups this year. They made an addition in free agency in DJ Reed, and then they drafted Sauce Gardner fourth overall. So clearly Robert Saleh values corners. Now, when I talked about this, I mean, there's always degrees of this. You know, I don't think any team in the NFL cares not about their corners at all. I think every team cared, but it's a question of to what degree do you value corners relative to, say, defensive line. I think it's pretty clear Saleh values the defensive line more than corner, and that's why the Jets in their first year under Saleh, the first offseason under Saleh last year, made big moves. That was the first area that they wanted to address. The question was, heading into this offseason, now that they've addressed to a certain extent the defensive line, would they address corner? Now, you know, now that they did step one, and they still address the defensive line, we'll get to that a little bit later, but now that they have a decent core in place on the defensive line, what's step two? Is it to just keep adding to the defensive line? Well, they did to a certain extent. Or is it to upgrade this corner group? And it's pretty clear the Jets were looking to upgrade their corner group this offseason. In fact, of the two moves they made, they signed DJ Reed and they drafted Sauce Gardner. The one that tells me that they prioritize corner is probably not the one you think. You'd probably say, well, they drafted Sauce Gardner fourth overall. Obviously, they value corner. I'd say, well, you know, it might just be a case. You know, a team may not necessarily value corners all that much, but sometimes you run into an exceptional prospect. We talked about this yesterday with Breece Hall at the running back position. You're telling me the Jets really are going to invest top resources in the running back position? No, they just found a player they think is going to be great. So it could be a situation where you're fourth overall. Maybe you don't value corner that much, but this guy's just so good that we can't pass on him. You know, that's one thing. The fact that they went out and got DJ Reed, though, tells me that this corner positions, this is not something they completely neglect. You know, last year, the philosophy seemed to be that they were going to go very young. They were going to go very inexperienced at the corner position. They had a bunch of guys who, I think almost the entire group of corners last year were either first or second-year players, and nobody was a high pick. You know, Breece Hall could have been a higher pick in 2020, but he ultimately was a fifth-round pick, and maybe that wasn't for talent reasons, but I think the objective last year was they were going to go young. They were going to let those guys play. They were going to let those guys learn and let inexperienced guys make a mistake and evaluate where they were in a year. And obviously the Jets did not love what they had at the corner position, and probably rightly so. I think, you know, it's interesting because I think in context, Brandon Knuckles, for what you would expect from a late round rookie, actually did okay. But for what you want from a starting corner, that was not so great. And I just don't know if Brandon Echols is starting material in this league. And I know you never want to judge somebody after 1 year. I think he's a very good guy if he's like your second backup on the outside, and that's what he is now. But they needed to upgrade it. Now, if you did not value corner, you'd continue to say, well, we'll coach these guys up. We won't sign DJ Reed. Why are we spending all this money on DJ Reed when we have these guys here? Maybe we'll get somebody in the draft who's an exceptional talent. That's not what the Jets did. They went out and got DJ Reed. And the DJ Reed signing is interesting from a couple different standpoints. Is that he's so unlike, first of all, a solid corner, and second of all, what Joe Douglas looks for. Because Joe Douglas, as general manager, tends to really care about your measurables. And DJ Reed's kind of small. He's undersized. But Salah comes from that Seattle school where they want guys who are long, guys who can jam at the line of scrimmage, long arms, you know, can really disrupt receivers as they get on their routes, and DJ Reed's not like that. When DJ Reed played with Salah in San Francisco, he played the slot, really. So Jets are signing a guy who's played under Salah, but in a very different role, a guy who doesn't really fit the Salah mold, a guy who doesn't really fit the Joe Douglas mold. But also, interestingly, DJ Reed, of course, comes from, I just said he's a very un-Seattle-like corner. Well, he came from Seattle, so obviously, you know, you're making an exception for a player who you think is a good talent, even if he doesn't necessarily check all the boxes physically for what you're looking for. And it shows you that the Jets really do that. I think this shows you this signing. Yes, of course, you draft a guy fourth overall. You can't say you're totally neglecting the corner position. But to me, like the DJ Reed signing, it shows you that they really wanted to focus on upgrading this group of corners. And that makes sense. You know, you hear it all the time. It's the cliche. It's a passing league. And, you know, there are two ways you stop the pass in the NFL. You get after the quarterback, and you cover guys. And the distinction between whether you value the defensive line more or whether you value the cornerback group more, in some ways, it's a very relative thing. Because in an ideal world, yeah, if you can rush the passer, your cornerbacks have to cover for less long. And if you can cover, your pass rushers have more time to get to the quarterback. Well, in an ideal world, you want to be able to do both. You know, you don't necessarily have to do either or. We've seen plenty of Jets teams who could do neither. In an ideal world, you do both because good corners help the pass rush. Good pass rush helps the corners. So you want these two sides helping each other. You know, you don't necessarily have to choose one or the other. So, you know, I always felt like it was a little overstated the extent to which people said Salah does not like corners, Salah does not value corners. And when you bring in corners, it makes life easier. Because if you're going to give a guy, you know, last year, essentially what you see the Jets do a lot is they'd give their corners a big cushion, and essentially they'd be responsible for the deep third of the field or deep quarter of the field, which leaves a lot of room open underneath, and it means your linebackers need to, like, cover all the entire underneath part of the field. If you have guys who can get up to the line of scrimmage and cover that underneath part, that means your linebackers have to do less. So these corners, in a way, could, like, actually help the Jets get better linebacker play this year, because you're probably taking things off the plates of C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams. So in that sense, you know, not only are these corners going to help the pass rush, they could also help the linebackers as well. And, you know, with, like, San Francisco under Salah, they had guys who could play corner. They had Richard Sherman. You know, maybe they weren't spending, you know, top dollar, maybe they weren't trading up in the first round for corners, but I think it was a misnomer to say that Salah never cared about corner in San Francisco. Now, maybe he cares about defensive, maybe he prioritizes defensive line a little bit more than corner, but the idea that Salah did not value corners, that was always a bit out there, I thought. You know, there are certain defenses where you don't value corner in the league, and those tend to be zone-heavy defenses where you do what I described the Jets did last year, where you essentially just give your corners a deep part of the field and essentially almost kind of turn them into like a safety role. And then, but you, when you're doing that, you're asking a lot more out of your linebackers and safeties, and the Jets don't really have the linebackers and safeties to run their defense or to build their defense around. So, you know, corners, I think, were a necessity for this team. I think the additions that they made were good, but more than anything else, it shows you that this regime is going to value corner. Maybe it's not the top priority. Maybe it's not a priority on the level defensive line is. And we saw that last year. Again, we saw it a little bit this year. You know, last year, when they first came in and they had nothing and they felt they had to build, they focused on the defensive line. You know, this year, I think they were a little bit happier with the defensive line so they could move on to step two, which was clearly corner. And now the Jets have what should be a vastly improved corner group. And it shows you that, all of this talk that Robert Salah does not value corner, well, not really worth a whole lot. Robert Salah does value. Maybe he doesn't value it as much as a pass rusher, but he does value it. Now, ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we will talk about that number one position that Robert Saleh values. The defensive line, the Jets made some additions there. What does this tell us? We'll discuss ahead here on this Tuesday episode. Only time will tell whether Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have fixed this defense with their personnel upgrades. But you should know that if you want to fix your car or truck, go to Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto, and you know how it feels. You go to your local chain auto parts store, you try and get the parts you need, you have to deal with all these questions that are irrelevant, and you're waiting while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, and there's only one brand their warehouse carries, so that's the part you get. Well, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money while using Rock Auto. And Rock Auto is a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could ever need. Brake parts, tail lamps, even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And the Jets are certainly hoping all of these new additions will make their defense run smoother. You probably know what that feels like if you're a business owner. You want your business to run smoothly, and you want to pay a fair rate for power because no business owner wants to deal with the hassle of energy decisions. But coming off the back of one of the highest-priced winters of the last decade, if your business was on a purely variable or market rate, you paid out the nose. Many New York business owners switched suppliers out of frustration, but unless you chose alternative pricing options, you're still at risk for a January repeat. That's where Catalyst Power comes in. They partner with you or your trusted energy consultant to produce a power supply plan that fits your business and your market risk tolerance. They have a suite of options customizable for your business's needs, including options that bundle with or focus on renewable energy. Right now in New York, they're offering an on-site solar solution for your business that requires zero installation, maintenance, or material purchase costs. That's right, no CapEx costs. And to sweeten the deal, qualified businesses could be eligible for up to 6 months of at-cost energy supply from Catalyst Power. Go to catalystpower.com/lockedonjets to learn more. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen or first watch every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see, give this episode a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Today, we're talking about lessons we've learned from the Jets offseason about the way they're building this roster. Now, I do think, despite what we said in the first segment, one lesson was reaffirmed. And last year, the Jets were very aggressive, trying to add pieces on the defensive line. They got Carl Lawson, they got Sheldon Rankins, they got Vinnie Curry in free agency. Unfortunately, only one of those three players played for the Jets last year because of injuries and Vinnie Curry dealing with an illness. Sheldon Rankins was the only one of the three who actually saw the field for the Jets last year. But they showed again this year that they really want to build this defensive line for Robert Saleh. I think the Saleh defensive line is one where you're going to see, in an ideal world, you're going to want to see a lot of guys rotating in and out. You're going to want to have guys with versatility, guys, a lot of guys who can play both inside at defensive tackle and outside at defensive end. You can see the additions they made this year. They brought back Vinnie Curry. They hope that Vinnie Curry's healthy. You know, near the end of his career, maybe he can give you a few snaps. They brought Jacob Martin in from Houston. Of course, in the first round, they traded up for Jermaine Johnson from Florida State, and the smaller move was signing Solomon Thomas, who I'm not that high on. And, you know, some of these guys may not make the team. There's only so many roster spots to go around, but I could see the Jets carrying a big group of defensive linemen this year because of how much Robert Saleh values the position. And I go back to what I said. Valuing defensive line and valuing corners are not mutually exclusive. It's just you may prioritize one a little bit more over the other, and I think Saleh probably prioritizes defensive line a little bit more, just again, based on what they did first. The first move in 2021 was to try and address the defensive line. Now that they felt the defensive line was a little bit more stable, they were able to address corner this year, but they also wanted to add to the defensive line because this is a defense where they want to get after the quarterback. Now, what was interesting last year is the Jets were a pretty heavy blitzing team on third downs. I'll be interested to see whether that trend continues this year. I could see it going either way because on the one hand, you could have, with Carl Lawson back, with Jermaine Johnson in the mix, hopefully Vinnie Curry, again, Martin in here. You still have Quinnen Williams. You have Sheldon Rankins. You've got some guys who profile as pretty decent pass rushers. So with all these guys who can get to the quarterback, maybe you feel a little bit more confident in your front four to get home. On the other hand, when you blitz, you kind of limit the offense's ability to devise a blocking scheme to stop you. Let's say the offense leaves a running back into block, so they have five offensive linemen and a running back blocking. Well, if you only rush four, then that means it's six blockers versus four rushers, so a couple guys can get double teamed. Whereas if you rush six, everybody's got a one-on-one. So blitzes can actually kind of, you know, even when you have a very ferocious pass rush, blitzes can be helpful because they give your guys one-on-one matchups, because that guy who maybe could help with a double team now has to be occupied with somebody else. That's the advantage of rushing six versus rushing four. And you can blitz a lot more when you have guys you can trust in the back of the defense at corner covering who can hold up, because blitzing typically means, you know, sometimes you'll play zone, but more often than not, when you're blitzing, you're going to play man-to-man. So it'll be interesting to see how the third down defense changed. But I think there's no question about it. The Jets continued to want to add some pass rushers. And, you know, one of the things, it's always awful when you lose a player for a full season. But one of the things that the trade-off is the next year, a guy like a Carl Lawson, he's kind of like an addition because he wasn't on the team last year. So it's like you're adding another player. Carl Lawson, you know, gave you nothing last year. So now anything you get from him is an upgrade over what you got a year ago. And you still have Bryce Huff in the mix. This is a group that's, I mean, maybe it lacks the star power up front, because I don't know if Quinnen Williams is ever going to be a star. Lawson's a very good player. I think people are selling Lawson short if they're just looking at the sack numbers. And Jermaine Johnson could get there, but he's a rookie. There's not really a star guy. There's not really a guy who's going to be like an all-pro contender. You know, maybe there's a guy who can be a borderline Pro Bowler. That's about it. But you just have a lot of guys who can play effectively. And again, you have some guys who can slide inside and out. John Franklin Myers obviously is a guy who, you know, has played both spots. He's played on the interior. He'll be a tough guy on passing downs at defensive end, but on the early downs, he can play slide inside the defensive tackle on passing downs, and on early downs, he can play defensive end where he'll be stout against, he'll be kind of be a power end against the run, but he can also collapse the pocket. So lots of different pieces here. I think, you know, it shows that Salah's number one priority is the defensive line, and maybe the number two priority, which we did not expect, was corner. And I've said this probably 20 times since the draft. There are two positions you want to be good on defense in today's NFL: defensive line and corner. If you're good at those two positions, even if you're shaky elsewhere, you got a shot. I'm not going to say you're going to be great, but you got a shot, because this is a passing league. This is a league where you want to be able to dominate up front, and you want to be able to dominate one-on-one on the outside. And the Jets have, through their additions this offseason, again, maybe they don't have the star on the defensive line, but they have a lot of guys who are either very good or profiled to be very good players. And at corner, Sauce Gardner profiles to be a potential, you always say potential with a rookie, a potential star. So these are the areas the Jets have prioritized this offseason, and you hope, again, with the addition, which essentially Carl Lawson's, he's now a 2022 free agent, because, you know, they got him last year and he didn't play because he suffered that injury. So now, in addition, along with all these other additions, you're adding Carl Lawson essentially as this year's free agent signing, along with Johnson, along with Martin, along with Vinnie Curry, who again didn't play last year. So, you know, you hope that this ends up being as good in reality as it looks on paper. It looks like a very solid group on paper. I'm not going to say a great group, but it looks like a very solid group. It looks like the kind of group you can take into a game. That's the kind of group you can feel comfortable going into the season with, along with these corners. So the Jets, I think, you know, if they're for the defense they want to run, I think they've prioritized the right areas. Now, I've always said this, you know, things look great on paper. They don't always work out in practice, but at this point of the year, all we can do is evaluate what they've done on paper. And I think what they've done on paper, there's a lot of logic to it. You know, whether they play up to those standards in the real games, we'll see. But for now, we don't have that data. All we can do is say, does this make sense or does this not make sense? And I think there's a lot that makes sense there. Now, head here on the Lockdown Jets podcast, we will close out today's episode, and we'll talk about some of the positions the Jets did not prioritize. And maybe these are positions they think they can coach up. We'll talk about that ahead here on this Tuesday episode. You know what I love? Good defense. And hopefully the Jets' defensive upgrades this year will provide them with a quality unit in 2022. You know what else I love? Brownies. Especially brownie batter. And you're in luck if you love brownie batter too, because Built Bar has a new creation, and this one's better than ever. It's the Brownie Batter Puff. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now at Built.com. The Built Puffs have chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bars in them. And these bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. And they only have 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and 7 grams of sugar. Brownie batter puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. And they taste just like brownie. So go to Built.com. And while you're there, Use promo code LOCK15 for brownie batter puffs or any other type of Built Bar. If you do that, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, it's promo code LOCK15. It's one word with no space, LOCKED, number one, number five, for 15% off at Built, BUILT.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Tuesday. We're talking about things we may have learned from Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh's approach to building the defense based on some of the offseason moves that were made, or in the case of the positions we're going to talk about, did not make. And all last year, I talked about how I think the Jets at corner for that year decided that they were going to try and coach those guys up. And, you know, I guess they felt like it didn't work because they went out and made big moves in the offseason to upgrade the corner group for 2022. This year, there are two positions where I think you saw liabilities last year, but the Jets coaching staff has decided they can coach these guys up. Those positions are linebacker and safety. Now, the Jets did go out and add Jordan Whitehead this offseason, so they hope he'll provide an upgrade at the strong safety position, but the other safety spot's kind of a question mark. I mean, unless they're counting on LaMarcus Joyner to play a full season, and I've talked about this extensively, I don't know if you can really count on him to do that. It might be a lot to ask a guy in his 30s who barely played last year, who's pretty much missed the full season with the injuries. Could be a lot to ask. Guy who hasn't really played safety because, you know, Jets are moving him from slot corner. Earlier in his career, he played safety, but he moved to slot corner before he signed with the Jets for a couple of years, and now they're moving him back to safety, so he hasn't even played safety in a couple of years. And behind him, there are question marks. I mean, Ashton Davis, who, let's be honest, has not been a good player for the Jets. And then maybe Jason Pinnock's kind of a wild card. Well, it seems like maybe the Jets believe they can coach these guys up. And the same is probably true at the linebacker position, where you have C.J. Mosley returning, which could be his last year with the Jets based on his contract situation. But you have Quincy Williams next to him, and we know Quincy Williams had some tremendous games a year ago. And by all accounts, listen, I don't care what you think about Quincy Williams. There's a lot of debate how good Quincy Williams really is. Quincy Williams was a very good waiver wire find by Joe Douglas. A linebacker from Jacksonville, you're not expecting to get a whole lot out of him. And the Jets got some decent games out of Jets got some excellent games out of Quincy Williams. Now, I don't know if Quincy Williams was as good as people think he was based on those games, because, you know, he's a guy who kind of struggled in coverage. A guy who honestly was a little, you know, you see the highlight reel hits. There are moments where he's a little out of control, where he overruns plays, where he fills the wrong gap up front. So there are some question marks there, but some of the feedback is the Jets really like Quincy Williams, and they think they can coach him up. I mean, there have been some suggestions. The Jets think he's a Pro Bowl-level talent. I don't know about that. I mean, that would be the waiver wire move of the decade if you get a guy who's cut by Jacksonville and turns into a Pro Bowler. But you don't need a Pro Bowler to be successful. I mean, at this point, for what he is right now, Quincy Williams is a successful player, because most players you get off the waiver wire give you zero. And one thing for Joe Douglas you have to say is, like, he's done a good job. Joe Douglas has been great at the waiver wire. Between John Franklin Myers, Quincy Williams, and Braxton Berrios, he's found three quality players in 3 years off the waiver wire, which, you know, is not something that's easy to do. Is Quincy Williams more than that? Is he a starting-level player? I mean, I think he's a borderline starting-level player. And with some of the shifts we've seen on this team, again, if you're going to have your corners play closer to the line of scrimmage, that's less ground the linebackers need to cover, so you can maybe live more with a Quincy Williams and a C.J. Mosley at linebacker. You know, that's a possibility. But I think, you know, I think it's clear that the Jets believe in their ability to coach up some of these young players at some of the maybe quote-unquote lower-value positions, whether it's Quincy Williams or, you know, whoever's going to play safety for them. And you do have a couple of veterans. You have Joyner, you have Whitehead, you have Mosley. So you've got some veteran players who I think you're hoping will be credible stopgap players. But I think you're seeing the Jets, with every team, you have to kind of prioritize things. You have to prioritize where you think you're going to be good, where you think you can coach guys up. I think this year, the area they're really going to try and coach guys up are linebacker and safety, and that's what their offseason moves show you. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. Leave the show a 5-star review if you're listening on a podcast source, and a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Send in your mailbag questions. Tomorrow we will have our weekly mailbag.